10 minutes with Tolly. My man Don Tolleson is on the Comcast Business Hotline right now. Tolly, what's up, man?
How you doing on this beautiful, beautiful June Sunday? Still with no sports to watch, but although I'm a little less optimistic than a week ago, I still think that that there will be actual games in a month, man, of some sort.
I do, too. I have said, though, Tolly, and I said this a long time ago, I don't know. I'm not confident they're all going to make it to the finish line with the way the virus is still exploding in some states. What do you think of that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think one of the most underreported indicators of that is that there are 37 Clemson football players who have tested positive for COVID. 37. And the thing that I found really perplexing was the NFL has been not full speed ahead, but moving forward with their plans for months now with the draft and free agency. And when the commissioner cancels the Hall of Fame weekend, and the worst part of that is our dear friend Hal Carmichael will have to wait another year for his long overdue induction. But having said that, there's really been no public indication of what was going on there. So I really do think that given what's going on nationally with what are obviously more than just spikes now, these are really, really large growth figures. There's to me great pessimism about, yeah, they'll get started, but how far will it go and will it go to conclusion in any one of the four sports that are set to resume?
Do you, there are people who said that these aren't real championships once they get coronated at the end because of the layoff and the restart and whatever. How do you feel about that? Do you, would you put a mental asterisk next to any of these champions that come out of this thing, or is it legit?
No, I wouldn't. And here's why I wouldn't. I think given all that's going on in our country right now, and we pray every day for the victims and the families of the victims of this tragedy that is continuing, these players are going to be under enormous, enormous mental and emotional pressure. And whichever team rallies the most together to win a World Series, to win a Stanley Cup, an NBA Finals, or a Super Bowl, if we get to those points, I think they will have overcome tremendous, tremendous mental pressure. And for me, that makes what will be, in some people's eyes, a tainted or an asterisk championship pretty, pretty impressive. I think those will be pretty impressive champions if hopefully we do get to play those championships.
That's an excellent point. I never thought of it like that. Now, let me ask you this, because I've been talking about baseball for the last, you know, hour or so. 60-game season, that's just slightly over a third of what it normally is, and we've had some callers say it's kind of invalid, and then I mentioned the gimmick, the runner starting on second base, which I don't particularly like.
And I don't either.
In a 60-game season, is it a real season? What are your thoughts on the validity of a 60-game season in baseball?
I think it should have been much longer had there not been this enormous greed on both sides that delayed what could have been the only show in town right now, if not earlier. But here's what I have to say. A lot of us complain about how there is a lack of urgency in much of the 162-game season. These are going to be urgent baseball players if they're really motivated to help their teams win from the get-go. And you need look no further than last season to see a Washington Nationals team, which got off to a terrible start.
Yeah.
But they could gather in the clubhouse and say, hey, still got 140 left. Still got 123 games left. You know, that won't happen here. So I think from a fan's perspective, it'll be really, really interesting to see urgent baseball games from opening day. But let me just address another issue about the games resuming. And I think the Daily News had one of its greatest headlines ever yesterday. Russian, R-U-S-H-I-N, apostrophe, roulette. Because of these
states. I love that. I love their headlines.
Too fast. Great headlines.
I love their headlines.
And I have a lot of respect for Malcolm Jenkins on a lot of different fronts, and I respect all the players in all the sports considering their own safety issues and the safety issues of their families and all. But here's where sports are essential. I work in the recovery profession. Addiction is going up. Alcoholism is going up during these stay-at-home quarantine times. Depression is skyrocketing when you talk to professionals and all. So I think sports are at least semi-essential in helping the mental health of the fans. But also, even though there won't be people in the stands, if they come back, how about these game day employees who count on that extra money? How about all the people in ancillary businesses around the facilities who count on the employment opportunity at a time of incredible unemployment in this country? I think sports are at least semi-essential, because let's get beyond the players and the managers and the multi-billionaire owners. Let's talk about the everyday blue-collar workers, like those great folks in South Philly. I have so many friends in South Philly who have game day jobs, and they walk to the stadium. They walk to the stadiums because we're the only city where all four teams play at the same location,
right?
Broad and Patterson. And so I feel for those people. But I'm encouraged. I have to be an optimist because that's just the way I've been taught to live my life and all. And I wanted, if I could, I mentioned two movies until the games start, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. Last week, that everybody should watch or watch again. Remember the Titans.
Sure.
And also Glory Road. But those took place, obviously, in Virginia with Remember the Titans, and Glory Road was the story of Texas Western from El Paso. But
yeah,
those are two of the greatest sports advancing civil rights movies. Before I let you go, or you let me go, Joe, I wish people this week would find the movie Pride. It came out, I think, around 2007. It's the story of the inner city swim coach, Jim Ellis, who started a swim team at the Marcus Foster Recreation Department, recreation facility. And it was called PDR, Philadelphia Department of Recreation, named for the great educator Marcus Foster, who did so much in the Philadelphia School District, became a superintendent in Oakland, and was assassinated by the Symbionese Liberation Army. People should read the story of Marcus Foster. But Jim Ellis took a bunch of African-American kids and refused to let the critics, many of them who did it in a racially tinged way, say, oh, black kids can't be successful swimmers. And he created a swimming program that's in the movie Pride, documented in the movie Pride, that was able to win events at local, state, and national swim meets. They put a swimmer on the national team pretty early on in his tenure. The movie stars Terrence Howard as Jim Ellis, and one of my all-time favorite actors plays a great supporting role in this encouraging movie about don't tell kids they can't do something. Bernard Jeffrey McCullough, my man Bernie Mac, one of the funniest human beings ever, Joe, and he's in this movie Pride as well, and people should find it and watch it.
Tommy, let me ask you this before I let you go, because one thing I've always thought most impressive about you, and I've known you for over 30 years, you were my teacher and idol growing up. I've never met anyone as positive about life as you are. In fact, one of my friends told me one time, this was a long time ago, if I ever get to make it in the business or become a sports anchor, be like Tali, be positive, don't be negative. And even some of the trials and tribulations you've experienced lately, you seem even more positive since then. How do you stay so positive?
Well, because, first of all, I've always disliked the cliche, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Work to make the glass 99% full. Make the proverbial lemonade out of lemons. Look at your situation in life, and the mere fact that any of us got up today is a victory for positivity. And I'll leave you with a great story about how sports can teach our young people, as this movie Pride demonstrates, to believe they can do something when others tell them they cannot. I'll never forget, and you're a great father, I'll never forget at one of the first sporting events I saw my beloved 10-year-old now, Gabriella. She's going up to bat in a softball game, and I'm trying to get a decent cell phone photo. She doesn't really see, you know, I'm only like 8 feet behind her. And she's saying to herself, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Life is about encouraging other people, especially our youngsters, that regardless of race, color, or creed, or any situations you find yourself in demographically, if you work hard enough, we can all do whatever it is we're trying to do.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.